Open your Bibles here tonight to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. As we continue going verse by verse through the book of Acts, we find ourselves in chapter 19 tonight, continuing in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and when he was in Ephesus here. Join me in prayer here as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Dear Lord, thank you for your word here tonight as we look at it. Pray you guide our thoughts. And thank you for each one that's come out here to lift up their voice in prayer to thee, O God. And Father, you're a God who does hear and answer prayer. And Lord, you delight in the prayers of your children. And Father, you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Father, we in America need to be men and women of prayer. And God, you said your house shall be called a house of prayer. So Lord, tonight as we've gathered here together, I pray you bless our prayers. We look into your word. I pray that you would encourage and strengthen us as we seek to serve you. And Lord, as you're our great God and great Savior, we want to give you thanks. So Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Help me be a vessel. Honors your son. Honors your word. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, as he's continuing his missionary journeys here, verse 1 of chapter 19, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, now Corinth is in Greece, in Achaia. So in other words, Apollos went west and Paul went to Athens, Ephesus where Apollos was. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul had passed through the upper coast. And that means, in other words, he didn't go along the seacoast. He went up the landmass toward Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Now, I question you tonight. I want to read this passage. I want you to tell me, are these believers or not believers? Okay, I'm just going to read what the text says. You tell me what the text says. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Were they believers before Paul got there or not believers? Okay, Karen says no. What does the text say? Because I understand exactly why you say that.
Certain disciples.
Okay, well, it says disciples, doesn't it? Okay.
Verse 2, it says when you believed.
When you believed, okay.
But it was John's baptism.
Okay, John's baptism. Paul baptized them again. Oh, are they believers or not?
Believe is in the past tense, so they must have been believers.
Okay. Okay. In my reading on the commentaries, some said they were saved, some said they were unsaved. And I'll tell you why, okay? I'll give you both sides. Okay? One group said they're not saved because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Just right there. Go all those verses, you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. But then the other group said, well, says verse 1, certain disciples. And that's always referred to believers. And he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Paul looked at them and said, have you know, since ye believe, that's like Kurt said, the past tense. So you got one time in verse 1, one time in verse 2, and then so the scripture seems to indicate that they were believers just by what it says there. Now, okay, can you have different opinions? I'll tell you, the book of Acts is a transitional book. What's it transitioning between? Okay, okay, you got the Old Testament, and then you got the New Testament. What happened on the day? Right, the Old Covenant, New Covenant. What happened on the day of Pentecost?
Holy Spirit came.
Were there saved people before? Absolutely. See, in this passage here, what you've got is you've got an overlap between the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, the the old dispensation of the law, the new dispensation of grace, the church age, you got this overlap. So what you want to be careful is, in the book of Acts, you don't want to form your doctrine from the book of Acts, because necessarily, although there's truth taught in there, but because it's transitional, it sounds one way one time and another way another time. The book of Acts is transitional. Our doctrines come from the Gospels and the epistles, but the book of Acts is a unique book, and it's a transitional book. Now, okay, in Acts 18, we were introduced to Apollos. Tell me a little bit about Apollos. We looked at this. He only knew what? Up to what point in God's revelation? He only knew how far. Because Aquila and Priscilla instructed him more perfectly, but where was his theological understanding up to what point? No, not even back up even further than that. Not even up to Jesus, before Jesus. What does it say? It says Apollos, knowing only, verse 25 of Acts 8, known only the baptism of who? John. That John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which what? Takes away the sin of the world. What was John? He was the forerunner of Christ, pointing people to who? Jesus. So in other words, Apollos didn't know anything about the life of Christ, his crucifixion, his resurrection. He didn't know anything about the day of Pentecost. He didn't know anything about the church age. The only thing Apollos knew was the Old Testament and up to John. Well, he went there. Aquila and Priscilla heard him and said, hey, Apollos, I got something to tell you. And they took him aside. There's more that God has done. And so they instructed him in the ways of the Lord. And he was understood the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he helped them much in verse 27, who had believed through grace. And he got the full picture, the full revelation of God, what God had done. Now, he was teaching in Ephesus. We're introduced to these 12 men in Ephesus. They may have been converts under Apollos, but all Apollos gave him was just this much. That's all he knew, up to John. And these men's heart were touched, but they believed in the coming Messiah. Now, how are Old Testament saints saved? Huh. Okay, but what did they look for? Right, what did the woman at the well, what did she look for? The woman at the well was looking for who?
Jesus.
Right, when the Messiah cometh, he would tell us all. See, people knew Messiah was coming. So the Old Testament saints looked to the Messiah coming. The New Testament saints looked back to that he came. Everybody looked toward the Messiah. Either they were looking forward or back. Well, in this passage here, these were Old Testament saints, so to speak, looking forward. They knew up to John. Their hearts were tender toward God. They believed that John was a baptism of repentance. In other words, they repented their sins, preparing for the Messiah to come, but they didn't have that revelation. And
but Apollos would have been, Jesus would have been walking when Apollos was, when he knew John, because Jesus was only 6 months behind John.
Okay. Where was Apollos from? He wasn't even in the land of Israel. Where did he live? Where's Alexandria at?
Oh, Egypt.
He grew up in Egypt. He hadn't heard about Jesus yet. All this happened within a span of 20 years. You know, so this...
Yeah, Jesus was walking.
Oh, absolutely. Right, but he hadn't heard. Right, because he was from Egypt. He was schooled in Alexandria and in the scriptures. And he was a Jew, but his name is Greek. He was a Hellenistic Jew. He was a Greek-speaking Jew, was Apollos. So this passage here is unique in the sense that it overlaps between one dispensation to the other. And what we can learn from this is that God is moving in dispensations and times. And we want to be careful we don't form our theological doctrines just from the book of Acts, because it's a transitional time between the old and the new, the church age, and these events that God is doing. Well, verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They said unto him, we have not so much heard whether to be. See, they just were untaught in the ways of God. And so he wanted to know how they were baptized. Now, And they said unto him, John's baptism. Now, I want to tell you something happened to me as a young boy growing up. Okay. I grew up in the Episcopal Church. As a young boy, I lit the candles, acolytes. I helped with communion and all those kind of things. And I remember standing by, just a little fella, listening to the priest talk to somebody. And, you know, I'm just a kid, you know, in a sense, but I'm listening. I remember him say that Jesus, when he was baptized, remember he went into Jordan and was baptized by John. He said, the Son of Man. Why did he do that? He wanted to be identified with sinful people. He was bad. Even though he wasn't a sinner, they need to repent, but he was identifying with mankind. That's when he started his earthly ministry. He got baptized. Now, after he got baptized, came out of the water, what happened to him? The Holy Spirit what? Came upon him. Ah, okay. I want to tell you how this Episcopal priest connected the dots. He said, when somebody gets baptized as an infant, they get the Holy Spirit just like Jesus got the Holy Spirit when he was baptized in the Jordan. Do you see how he connected the dots? Like, what's wrong with that theology? It's false because John's baptism was a baptism of what? Repentance. See, although they went to John's baptism, what did Paul say to them? You need to be baptized what? In this passage. Again, when he heard this, they were baptized in what? The name of the Lord Jesus. See, Christian baptism is totally different than John's baptism. So if somebody takes you down the road of that type of twisted theology, they're all mixed up. Because when Peter preached at Cornelius' house, how many of those got baptized before they got the Holy Spirit when he spoke in Cornelius' house? In Acts 10. When did they get the Holy Spirit? As soon as Peter what? He preached the word. And they believed. Did any of them get baptized? No. No. Baptism is not the act whereby you get the Holy Spirit. Your belief is the act, so to speak, that you get the Holy Spirit. In repentance and faith, then you get the Holy Spirit. When you have repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the Holy Spirit is given to those that want to be saved from their sins. So this passage is a good passage for us to understand how God is transitioning between the old and the new, and we see this in the lives of these people. Help me finish this verse. God is not willing that any should what? Perish. Do you think it was an accident that Paul crossed paths with these 12 men? I don't think so. I think God ordained that he would be there at this time to help these people that were sensitive to the things of God, but were unknowing of God's fuller program. So when they heard about Jesus Christ in verse 4, verse 5, then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spake with tongues. Now, how many times is tongues mentioned in the book of Acts? How many times? More than 10? Less than 10? Less. Okay. More than 5? Less than 5? How about 3 times? That's all it's mentioned in the book of Acts, speaking tongues. But what you had on the day of Pentecost, you had Cornelius, and then you had these people here. That's the only time tongues is ever mentioned. Now, tongues was given for a sign. Okay, when somebody gets the Holy Spirit, do they look any different on the outside? No. It's an inward change. So in this day here, for somebody to have the working of God in their life in these major epics of God's moving. God, for this season and this short time, the tongues were a sign that these men had the Holy Spirit, that God had worked in their life and had saved them. It was a sign. Now, what did that do? Well, you had the Jews over here on the day of Pentecost. They spoke with tongues. In Cornelius' house, when Peter spoke, they were Gentiles, and they spoke with tongues. What did that do for the church? That caused division or unity? Because the Jews couldn't say the Gentiles are less than we are because they got the same gift of the Holy Spirit. So what God did by doing that, the Jews could see that these Gentiles had the same gift that they did, and they were one in Christ just as much as Jews. It brought unity together. And that was the purpose here, that God had the tongues to bring unity together in the body of Christ, that the Jews, Gentiles were one in Christ, and that people could see the working of God. The inward change was outwardly showed by speaking in tongues. So Paul, when he laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied, spoke of things of God. And all the men were about 12. Very interesting passage here tonight. But God is moving in different ways through different people groups, and in different times he has his dispensations that he moves through. So, anybody have any questions about this passage or comments? No, that was repentance. That was just preparing their hearts for the coming Messiah. In other words, when the Messiah would come, they would have their sins forgiven and cleansed, and they would be right with God. They would open their hearts to God's coming. So that was the purpose of John's baptism, a call of repentance, not of Christian salvation.
And I know many times, it's only the Lord knows the heart, because, right. I mean, it is amazing that Judas was with the disciples for 3 years. He was not saved.
Right. Have not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil, a demon? How would you like to have that put over top of you? Yeah, only the Lord knows the heart, but yes, absolutely. All right, well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for this passage we looked at here tonight. And Father, you're almighty God, all wise. Father, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, you work in lives to bring men and women, boys and girls to you. And thank for the Holy Spirit that you've given us to save us, to sanctify us, to encourage us. And that, Lord, you haven't left us as orphans, God. You've come alongside of us. So, Lord, bless us as your people. And as, Father, we consider these theological matters, help us understand your great working and love for all mankind, that you're working all things together for good. And, Lord, as we see these days approaching in our own time here, God, how the rapture of the church could be imminent, God, any time as we see these events unfolding. So, Lord, help our faith to be strong. And, Lord, as you work through each epoch of ages, God, may we be prepared in our hearts for what you have for us in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody think?